Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
The government, and this is allegedly because we don't have verified information on this other than an employee who headed it up for quite some time, but James and Kechara Bradford were in Pensacola, in East Pensacola, last week. And they were looking for a home, and they happened to see a builder who's building in Pensacola, but he used to build, he was just building in Washington, D.C. And you're going to hear a report. You're going to be, I don't know if you're going to be shocked, but you're going to be really surprised. Your eyes are going to be open in the point of they know what's going on, it appears. Everybody in Washington knows what's going on, and they're using your tax dollars to be able to take care of themselves. But this is the thing about it. They're not telling you.
Wow.
They're not telling you. I got a phone call the other day in my office, and the phone call is like, everything you said, it's exactly what's happening. I was like, well, yeah, I'm not saying it. It's what God is revealing to us in a dream and through wisdom. And I mean, Kamal, if you have not seen Kamal Saleem's, you know, segment on VFN TV, you got to see it. And it was so cool. You know, we, our social community network goes all the way around the world to see all of our, you know, Arab friends and our Indian friends and the Middle Eastern friends that just, you know, connected to his testimony. And I'm excited about even more about talking about his book in the future as well. But it's, it builds a 5-year vision about where things are going. And he hangs around with people who flies around the room. So you probably want to know, right? But anyway, so big shout out this morning to Kamal in Texas.
In fact, you can find
in Tennessee, actually.
In Tennessee, you can find that segment on The Torch. It's called Watch. Former radical jihadist Kamal Saleem speaks on VFN TV about America's enemy and how Islam is targeting the church and the Jews, part 1 and 2. You don't want to miss it.
And that was a shocker thing, wasn't it? It's like, okay, back up a little bit. I didn't realize that. Well, we did, but we were hoping we were wrong.
Right.
But it was kind of a hint when you saw Pastor Hagee's church
San Antonio.
San Antonio. Y'all remember that we have that on the VFN Torch. Yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah, that was really interesting because Pastor John Hagee was preaching and teaching, I guess, in his church, which holds, I think, 16.
It was Israel. They were promoting Israel there.
20,000 people. I mean, it's a very large facility. And right in the middle of his talk, people just started standing up, and they started attacking the Christians in the church verbally. And then, you know, the ushers would run and kind of, you know, address that one person or those two people and get them out. And then a few more minutes would be, you know, he'd continue to share, and then someone else would pop up in another area of the facility shouting and screaming and saying derogatory things towards believers, and then they'd get those. And this went on, I don't know, over a long period of time. But they didn't know who was amongst them in this entire, you know, church building. Right. And they just kept popping up. I mean, that's very, you know, disconcerting when you realize that we need to know those who are among us. We need to know our brothers and sisters who are sitting right next to us. Because at any given moment, those that want to do the church harm can infiltrate us and be right among us. And
The whole thing is, you know, when you think about it, because we get back from the break, we're going to be showing, you're going to see this happening. The thing is, we just have to wake up. I mean, how many times do we walk through life looking down? I mean, and if anything, as Christians, we should look up.
Yep.
You know, our redemption is up, not down. It's not horizontal, it's vertical,
That's right.
And, but we just look down. I mean, how many families don't even relate to each other because they're looking down at their digital devices. They're looking down at whatever they're doing. And they don't even look to the person next to them. I know for years when I was a minister inside of a particular church that just loved God, but everybody was such, it was like sand. And so, you know, my responsibility in ministry was to introduce somebody who sat beside each other for 10 years.
Wow.
You know, Bob, this is Jim. Jim, this is Bob. Hey, how you doing? And so I would say, hey, you need to... you need to come get involved in this men's thing. You need to come get involved in this Promise Keepers thing or this small men's group thing or something like this. And he would go, one of the guys would go, oh, I'm just so busy.
Right.
And then his wife would corner me and go, dear God, please stay after him. He sits in that lazy boy chair all day and does nothing. He's driving. He needs God, right? And I'd go back to him and be like, man, I'm just so addicted. I mean, so busy. I can't get to it. We get back from this break, and we're also going to talk about the based on this report, allegedly, that You know, you'll hear James and Kechara Bradford talking about their encounter with a builder of safe houses in Washington, D.C. Reports are the government is building safe houses for themselves in Washington, D.C. with your tax dollar, while we aren't even being told what's about to happen on the earth. We're going to go right to an encounter that took place at John Higgins Church in San Antonio, Texas. And they were standing for Israel. If anybody is leading the charge for Israel in America, it is Pastor John Hagee with Christians United for Israel and all the representatives in different states and regions and cities. We're just so thankful for Kufi. We stand with Kufi ourselves. But this is a video that the protesters put out. So obviously it's going to be a little leaning that way. But realize what happened. They were gathering. And the thing about, we got to remember this, that maybe I'm talking to you, you're that guy that looks around and going like, you know, we need to be smarter here. We need to know who's coming amongst us.
Yeah.
And I bet you bottom dollar, although I don't bet, John does, that he doesn't, that your pastor, if you're told your pastor, I'm concerned about the security of the flock and why you're actually teaching. Is it okay if me and a few guys or ladies, whoever, you know, begin to talk and figure out how to have security for our church? Because you know, when people were closing their eyes and praying, we don't want them, you know, they're sheep, you know, the same way a shepherd would. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't want them hurt. I bet you. And there's a lot of different ministries out there now that just teach you how to do it. I think we have a segment on that on VFN Torch, how to think security wise. But here they are, just a normal meeting, the way you have them all the time. And in the midst of everybody in that particular fellowship celebrating Israel, and this is the big thing. You need to know who's amongst you. You need to, how can you walk together unless you agree? And so take time to meet the person next to you. Mm-hmm. And we can't just assume they must be, you know, most of us live our life and go, you know, they're not like your neighbors. Remember your neighbors up in Jersey?
Yes.
Oh, they're kind. They're nice. They're not terrorists. And
of course they were terrorists.
They were terrorists.
They got arrested at John F. K. Kennedy Airport.
Yeah, I know. And finally, you know, they got rid of that video. You having a meal with them.
It was outreach.
The outreach. I mean, you just don't even know because people are people. Mm-hmm. You can't stereotype a particular person, but you can know who. And as being, you know, he says, you know, that we're supposed to protect. He says, Paul says, I warned you day and night that the wolves would come in amongst you and devour you, even from your own number, which means we have to stay on the wolf patrol. Mm-hmm. We have to constantly do that. And look what happens right here. And you think it's over when they immediately start getting the first one that stands up. And now imagine if these particular protesters had a chemical, had acid, had some sort of weapon, had a knife, had some sort of thing that they could have harmed, because they were right there next to the body of Christ. They were right next to this lady who loves Jesus, you know, and had her kids there, right next to a father, right next to children. And look what happened. Watch this.
On this Sunday, churches across the nation and around the world will unite in prayer and action for the state of Israel. This coming Sunday, May 15th, is Christians United for Israel's annual CUFI Sunday.
Thank you.
what you're seeing here, just so you know, that this is a Christian church. This is Pastor John Hagee's church in San Antonio, standing up as you do as a fellowship of believers coming together, boldly standing for Israel. And look what's happening, one after another, in the midst of their crowd, people that you would assume that's a believer, that's in agreement, they're not in agreement, and they're standing up, and just thank God that they didn't have weapons, they didn't have... And we want you to continue watching this, but I'm showing this, we're showing this not to scare, but just to inform.
Absolutely.
We need to know how we got to begin to open our eyes up and say, you know what, we need to pay attention. Who is the deputy or the police officer or the security officer in our fellowship? We need to begin to develop a strategy to make sure that, we got to know those who labor amongst us. Let's continue to watch this so you get a good idea of what we're talking about. So what you're looking at, and hearing, those that are on radio, you're listening to a typical gathering of Christians where we're gathering together and we're focusing on, you know, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. I mean, of all the gatherings, it's John Hagee's gathering, which he's not soft at all.
Oh, no.
And they were scattered throughout the entire congregation.
Yeah.
When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about this because... we have reports, allegedly, that the government, and this is not that, this is none of that conspiracy stuff. This is one of the ones who's been building these particular safe houses in Washington, D.C., and it lines exactly up what God is telling the church across the world about prepare for 90 days. I mean, if you love your fellow believer and you love the people you fellowship with and you're starting to see how vulnerable they were, you know, you think that everybody's safe, but you know, I'm coming. You know, I spent many years in law enforcement. The truth is, we have police officers because they look after us. They patrol our neighborhoods. The reason why we can sleep at night is because deputies get in their cars and they don't sleep. There was one time I did. No, messing with me. No. And so. We got to begin to patrol, not in a religious way, but just for safety. You know, little Bobby, little Jennifer. I mean, think about this. Your pastor is preaching. He's pouring his heart out to you. Who's watching his back? Who's watching her back? Who's watching their wife? Who's watching their kids? When all the kids go off to some other place, maybe you're, you know, I mean, is it secure? I mean, who's amongst you? We have this whole concept of this American gospel that we got to push that out and bring back the biblical gospel. It's like people feared coming amongst the church.
Yeah.
And today this concept is about bring anybody and everybody in. And it's like, but the church is actually not a organization. It's not a building. It's a body of believers who follow Jesus Christ. So it's not bring everybody into the church. You can say bring everybody, you bring the church into the building. And then you would be saying, and bring everybody who's not the church around the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my billboard out there is like, hey, bring a wolf in today, you know? And it's like, and look what was going on. And it's like, yeah, we want to win people. And everybody does it, that shows up at our gatherings aren't necessarily a believer. But there should be an expectation that, you know, you should do no harm while you're here. Right. You should harm no one.
Right.
You should harm no one, you know, here in this flock. We have a responsibility,
and,
yeah, right?
And if people do pop up and begin to do something, I mean, that's why we're...
What does that mean? What
do you, well, pop, stand up in the middle of a meeting, a service, in the congregation. You know, that's why we're sharing this, because we want to be able to shed some light where we can begin to start thinking about ways that we can strategize and be prepared in the event something like this was to happen. But you don't want to have the Lone Ranger approach.
What is happening? And we have several reports on the torch, yeah, where, you know, people went in, and if it wasn't for a member of that church that had a licensed concealed weapon according to the Second Amendment, mm-hmm, they would have kept on doing it. But they put an end to, mm-hmm, that.
Yeah, that situation.
Massacre.
Yeah, sure.
You know what, right, I'm saying?
Absolutely. The thing is, you don't want to get up and start putting your finger in people's face because you don't know what they have. You know, the Lone Ranger approach. We talked about a segment on the program about not being the hero complex. Being careful that you're not stepping into a place where you try to become a hero, because heroes die too.
Well, of course, the hero complex is about, you know, the Second Amendment and carrying a concealed weapon. It's amazing how Barney Fife in his one bullet. I was watching Barney Fife last night.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
You were doing what?
No. I was watching Mayberry or something.
Bless you.
Yeah, and he walked up on a bank robbery.
Mm.
And I forgot, you know, so he has a swing holster. Anybody deputy knows in the past, swing holsters are like the most stupidest thing you could ever get, because you can't, it just swings instead of pulls your gun out. And he just happens to walk up on a bank robbery,
uh-huh,
right? And so all of a sudden, because this is the hero complex, because obviously, you know, Barney was not a hero, but the fact he had a gun, he felt like a hero. He had a gun and one bullet, because they only trusted him one bullet, but he couldn't keep it in his gun. He actually had to keep it in his pocket. So here he was outside this bank door, and he's tugging and pulling on this holster trying to pull it out. And I couldn't figure out, why was he getting in his pocket? He was getting in his pocket trying to pull the bullet out to put in his gun to go in the bank. Oh, and it's like, is that you? Mm. I mean, are you like Barney Fife in regards to, you're really not a hero because you got a gun? You know, you think that now you're invincible. And the truth is, in the hero complex, you got to listen and watch that segment on the VFN torch. You can actually see it right here. It's right there on the VFN torch. And it's important to listen to it, because there is a survey done for individuals that says because they had a gun, they felt more competent, they felt more capable, they felt stronger, and all these different, you know, mindsets. And the truth is like, you're the same person you were before you had the gun.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're a highly intelligent, articulate, and wise, now you're highly intelligent, articulate, and wise with a gun. If you were ignorant, stupid,
that's right,
with no wisdom,
a fool, right,
without a gun, you're still ignorant, stupid, and no wisdom without a gun. That's important to understand, because the guns do not equalize us.
Man, that's so, mm-hmm, good.
And because imagine this, you're in it, you say, that's right, I'm going to prepare myself, and you're not going to talk to your pastor, you're not going to talk to the board or the group or the elders or anything, you're just going to do it yourself. And you're going to sit there and you're Second Amendment packing, right? Ooh. And something goes down, it's just a visitor, but you know, something goes down, and you're all of a sudden, you know, something goes wild, and you think you're going to draw down, but you don't understand there's other people there that's probably packing too because of Second Amendment. And so what you have is, when somebody says, man with a gun, and they look around, you're not going to look like a hero to them. You're going to look like the man with the gun.
That's right.
So more details are about that in the hero complex. Same thing in malls or anything else. But in regards to get a plan, get with your local law enforcement. I'm telling you, your local sheriff is a key person. Your local sheriff and chief of police, but your local sheriff has a plan for your church. They'll tell you, walk you through things that you can do, can't do. And they'll be glad that you're, you know, policing and taking care That's of right. the people that are there. Remember the parking lots and, you know, people traveling back and forth. But there's going to be a season. We can definitely say it's going to be 90 days. But it's probably going to be a greater season than that. But a period of time that we got to have a plan. I know that when we helped out during Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Ivan, that a lot of the churches in Waveland, Mississippi, and in Gulfport, Mississippi, mm-hmm. and New Orleans, that they didn't have a plan. They did not have a plan. You know what? Just like the water washes, you know, rubbish in the water, it just washed the church all over the place. And, you know, some of the reports are, you know, we're talking to Leo DeJesus there, mm-hmm. you know, Brother Leo there in New Orleans and Gretna. And he says that people are still scattered today.
Wow.
They never came back. And the thing is because we just assumed it's all going to be stable and connected. And it's real simple to do. This is what you do. You go, look to the person next to you on the pew or the chair, and depending, I guess, you know, or the coffee house behind the meat or the couch, and just say, hey, how are you doing? Mm. What's your name? This is my name. You know, where do you work at? How are you doing? And just get to, he says, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to Jesus. It's like build koinonia loving relationships with the body of Christ, and love will hold us together when organizations can't. Begin to find out about their kids. Begin to find out about where they live and where they work and that type of thing. And you know what? Despite what happens to any kind of structure, we can go find Jennifer. You know what I'm saying? We can go find Bobby Joe.
That's right.
You know, we can find Stanley because we know their life. Mm-hmm. We're not dependent on an organization to hold us together. I love him. I love her. Therefore, I will find them and I will look for them. And Jesus says when one goes away from the 99, Jesus will actually leave the 99 to go after the one. But we can't do that if all of a sudden when the hurricane hit in Katrina in New Orleans, that they were all over the place. Houston, they were in Baton Rouge, they were in all over the
Texas, everywhere.
I mean, all over different places, and it's like they'll never be, you know, together again potentially, mm-hmm. staying in different places. But it's like, you know, we could have just got to know each other, and this is what we heard: the database went down. Mm-hmm. You think about it: if the database goes down today, would you even know your members? Would you even know the people in the same pew?
Wow.
And the thing about this is, that's the most important thing we could do at this time. I really believe we're going through this because we don't know the person beside us. He says, whatever you do to the least of these, he says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was sick, you visited me. But what would he say? He's like, I was hungry and I sat beside you at church. And you never even asked me when my stomach growled. You just assumed that I had a meal waiting for me. I was thirsty and I sat beside you in Sunday school and you never did ask me. You know, I was sick and you never did come and visit me. You didn't even know I was sick. You saw what I was at, you know, but you didn't even come. Think about it. I think the Lord is saying, you know what? We got to get back to family again. It's the family of God under our Father God through our elder brother and Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for us to be family again. Organization won't hold us together. It is a good thing, but love will hold the church together. So I just want to encourage you today. Don't be sad. The best of times and the worst of times. The best of times can be the best times the church has ever seen. Reports are the government's building safe houses. We saw what happened with Pastor Hagee's church. Realize, let's just be wise. Let's just be smart. You can find out more details at VFNTV.com by going to the torch. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFNTV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll